Our psalm reading this morning is Psalm 99. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob, you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. This is the word of the Lord. Now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for your presence with us this morning. We pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will speak to each of us. Help us to hear the words that you would have us hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, this is the Transfiguration of the Lord Sunday. And this is the account of the Transfiguration as heard from the Gospel of Matthew, Chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen, until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Well, the season of Lent is about to begin. How could it be, when it seems that just yesterday we were celebrating the birth of the Christ child in the manger in Bethlehem? We just took down the Christmas tree, put it away for another year, and here we are at the time of Lent. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent and the beginning of the 40 days of repentance that we observe as a church before we have the glorious celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ on Easter. Today, however, we are brought back to this point in Jesus' ministry when he has been teaching and healing and performing miracles throughout Judea and Galilee. He is making his way to Jerusalem, and Jesus knows what lies ahead, and his godly persona is becoming more and more apparent to his disciples. It was just in previous verses that Peter acknowledges Jesus as the Christ. It says right here in Matthew 16, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they replied, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. So Scripture tells us that from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day, and on the third day he will be raised to life. And as we learn from the Gospel of Matthew, it was then that Peter rebuked Jesus, saying, Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But Jesus, in what is perhaps the most poignant and startling rebuke of any of his disciples, turned to Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. This was Peter, the one who Jesus had said would be the rock upon which he would build his church. Yes, even Peter, in all of his humanness, would fall back to the worldly way of seeing Jesus as someone that he liked to have around, someone who was inspiring crowds with his teaching and with his healing and his miracles. Peter was comfortable in Jesus' presence. He felt protected and safe. He didn't want to hear the words about suffering and dying, and he didn't understand the words about resurrection. Peter had declared that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, but he had so much more to learn. And so today, we look at the mountaintop scene that we have come to know as the transfiguration of the Lord. The word transfiguration means a complete change of form or appearance into a more beautiful or spiritual sight. It may help you to conceptualize transfiguration if you understand that the Greek word for transfiguration is the word metamorphothe. If that sounds familiar, it's the word from which we derive the word metamorphosis. And the most spectacular example of metamorphosis is the changing of a caterpillar into a beautiful butterfly. Our scripture passage this morning says, There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. So on that mountaintop, what Peter, James, and John see is the glory of Christ. He is in his most beautiful and spiritual form. It is the Son of God in all of his splendor. Now, I said that Peter has so much more to learn. All of the disciples had so much more to learn. Can you even imagine what they were thinking when they were seeing all of this happen before their very eyes? The top of the mountain is a natural place for Jesus to take three of his disciples to encounter God. It was, after all, on Mount Sinai that God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. Jesus gave his first teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. He often retired to the mountain at night to pray, and he would be crucified on Mount Calvary, and he would ascend to heaven from the Mount of Olives. Today, at this time of transfiguration, Peter, James, and John are with Jesus on Mount Tabor. They will also be with him in the near future in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus will be arrested. But today's experience of being in the presence of God will prepare them for what is to come. Today, Moses and Elijah also are present, speaking with Jesus about his approaching death. Moses is the great lawgiver, and Elijah the great prophet. In the presence of these two, representing the law and the prophets, the voice of God from heaven is heard. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And then God says, "Listen to him." It is easy for us to miss the significance of this scene. You see, here on the mountain, the transition from the old covenant to the new covenant is taking place. The world is being prepared for the death and resurrection of Christ the Lord. Jesus came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to bring them to completion. Christianity is not to be an abstract creed or code, but it's a person. Jesus Christ, fully God and fully human, is to be the way, the truth, and the life. We are to listen to him according to God's voice from heaven. We are to follow him. The letter to the Hebrews tells us that in times past, God spoke to us through the prophets, but in these last days, through his Son. For Jesus, the transfiguration was the turning point in his life. Until now, all was onward and upward. He was captivating the people with his preaching and miracles. But now he must begin his descent into the valley, to the road to Gethsemane and to Calvary. The transfiguration gave Jesus a foretaste of his glory, and in the strength of that joy, he would endure the cross. But most of all, the transfiguration gave Jesus another affirmation of his Father's love. At his baptism in the Jordan, the voice of God the Father had affirmed him, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And now God repeats that affirmation of love, but he adds the words, "Listen to him." Those words should ring loud and clear in the hearts and minds of each and every one of us today. Listen to Jesus. Listen to his teaching. Imitate his humility. Acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Yes, listen to the beloved Son of God. For Peter, James, and John, this was an awe-inspiring experience. They had never seen their master like this before. They had never experienced the presence of God like this before. It prepared them for carrying on the ministry of Jesus with special authority and knowledge. We know that decades later, John would write in his gospel in John 1, verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Yes, indeed, John had seen his glory. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, Peter wrote these words, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And then Peter continued, "We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven, and we were with him on the sacred mountain." Peter, James, and John were eyewitnesses to Jesus' glory. They had no reason to ever doubt again. But yet, they, just like all of us, found themselves confused, afraid, unsure, just a short time later, when Jesus, the beloved Son of God, was confronted and accused at Gethsemane. Peter even denied that he knew him. So today, let us prepare our hearts and minds for this coming Lenten season, which is about to start. The Transfiguration leans unmistakably into Lent as Jesus comes down from the mountain and journeys to the death he speaks of during that very descent. God's words, "Listen to him," addressed to Peter, James, and John, will become poignant, even painful, in the weeks ahead as the disciples regularly fail to do just that, or at least they fail to understand. In the weeks ahead, you and I, as Jesus' disciples of today, should also take heed of God's admonition to listen to him. The message of Jesus that we will hear during the season of Lent will be words of love, humility, compassion, and forgiveness. That is the true message of Jesus Christ, and it was for that message that he died on the cross. Yes, when each of us longs for our own mountaintop experience, when we are afraid or confused about what the future holds, and when the voice from heaven seems to be quiet in our lives, the image of Easter looms just ahead. But the beauty of our faith is that we don't have to wait to celebrate Easter. Oh, we will observe the season of Lent, and we will honor all that it means to prepare for the day of celebration on April 12th. But the truth of the message of Jesus Christ is this: for all who believe, Christ the Lord is risen today. We celebrate his resurrection every day. To the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we do pray that each and every day we are reminded that it is a day of celebration, celebrating your resurrection. As we enter into this Lenten season, we pray that we will have the opportunity to reflect upon our own lives, that we will enter into a time of repentance, a time of reflection, a time of looking around the world and realizing that we truly can be examples of your love, your compassion, and your forgiveness. Help us, Lord, to have the courage. Lord, we thank you for all of the many blessings that we do enjoy as Christians, as followers of yours, as your disciples of today. And for those of us who are in need of prayer, we know that you are here with us. We do lift to you little Elijah Harmon as he struggles at such a young age with the ravages of cancer. We pray, Lord, for your presence, your comfort, your love to touch him and his family. We do lift to you Candy Whitlock as she awaits further word about her biopsy. And Lord, we pray with hope that the news will be good. And we pray, Lord, that you will be with her and that she and Perry and their whole family will feel your presence. We remember Jennifer Williams as she too struggles with the effects of chemotherapy. We pray that she will feel your presence, and we pray, Lord, that you will also comfort Don and Brenda. And Lord, we are joyful that Janine is with us this morning. We thank you for protecting her and getting her to the hospital on time, and we rejoice that she is with us today. So Lord, thank you for all of the ways that you bless us each and every day. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.